In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text for this morning's meditation is taken from the last two verses of our Gospel reading. It reads as follows in chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is our text. Since we have only recently all experienced a presidential election, we are all familiar with people whose task it is to try to determine the mood of the country. Whether it's the Gallup poll or the Harris poll or really any other kind of gauge of popular opinion, the goal of this type of attitude check is to determine first what people are thinking, and then later to try to organize it to find out why they're thinking the way they are. So in the last couple of months following the presidential election, we heard of the black vote, for example, and the pivotal role it played in determining our president-elect. We heard of the Jewish vote, the labor vote, the black vote, the youth vote, and so on and so forth. People tried to determine why these people were voting the way they did. Really, we have only to read the local newspapers or to listen to our national television broadcasts to find that this kind of opinion evaluating goes on all around us. But then mood evaluation is also applied to other aspects of our lives than simply in the years of presidential elections when it comes time to voting. For example, General Motors listened closely when people began hinting that they would rather buy a car from a foreign country that ran for 25 miles to a gallon rather than buy a domestic product that ran for only 15 miles to the gallon. You see, people were concerned either for their pocketbook or for the ecology. People were concerned. They developed a mood of sorts, and so General Motors listened. Now, this is all really only a long way to get around to the point that in our country's religious attitude today, we also move with certain moods, certain pulses of the time, certain tenors of the age. If science has failed to give us all the answers of questions that people are so desperately asking, as many are now suggesting that science has, if science has failed there, then something else will have to give people meaning. Something else will have to make people's lives valuable. Something else is going to have to make sense out of an otherwise senseless journey of years here on earth. Well, the religious mood of our country, and we use that term this morning in an extremely loose sort of way, the religious mood of our country today is that people can be into some sorts of personal religious experiences. And so people today are into transcendental meditation. They're into their favorite guru. They're into group therapy. They're into so-called political justice styled after the Old Testament prophets and supposedly also practiced now by the Magnificat. They're into Earhart training today, and even though they've got it, they can't explain it, but yet they've got it. You see, there's intimacy in these movements. There's intimacy, but no involvement. There's passion in these movements. There's passion without long pull. People can dabble, but after they've taken what they can get, it seems they can pull out without any long-term scar. There's intimacy without involvement. There's passion without long pull. People are into things. Of course, it would be very, very easy for us to continue this sort of mood evaluation and apply it to the Christian scene. It's not hard for us to think even of names of people who we think we know, who on Sunday morning are very much into Christianity, but who by Wednesday evening are very much out of it in more ways than one. It's always supremely easy for us to apply the law of God, to speak of the law of God to other people, but then eventually also to try to wiggle out of the application for ourselves. It always works that way. It's much more comfortable. To us this morning, as professional and paraprofessional theologians, God comes to us in the baptism of our Lord, and he says to us clearly and strongly, he says to us that in spite of your and my being into Christianity, he, God, is not superficially into us. You see, on Monday morning, we can all study the intricacies of the Eighth Commandment. In Then before noon, we can put a lie to all that we've learned as we talk and gossip among our friends about someone else. And to this, and to you, and to me, God says, you're into Christianity. Your profession doesn't follow your profession. Something is far out of balance. You're dabbling, God says. Or on Wednesday morning, we may talk among ourselves about where we're going to be located professionally 3 or 5 years from now. And then we continue the discussion about how we're going to nudge the Holy Spirit, suggest to him this course of action or that, where we'd like to be located or relocated professionally. And then to you and to me, God says, you're dabbling. You're into Christianity. You treat this ministry of mine as if it were any other business enterprise. I have news for you. I called you. It's my ministry. I'd like to call you on my time. On Thursday evening, on Thursday night, as we talk and turn and lie awake, wrestling with some sort of personal problem that is tearing away at our inside, Thursday evening, God comes to us, to you and to me, and says, you're dabbling. You're into Christianity. You see, I'd like to talk with you about this situation, but I haven't heard you talk. Call it prayer if you like, but I'd still like to talk with you. God comes to you and to me this morning in the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he says that this tactic on our part is really no control. Our dabbling in Christianity, our being into Christianity, even as professionals, is really all bad news. It's bad news because it eventually is only going to end in more and more and greater and greater doubt on our part as we wonder if we're really far enough into the tactic of our profession. Then thank you to God, the baptism of our Lord, that he doesn't leave us there. The baptism of our Lord, God says that he is involved with us. He says publicly that this is his time. He is pleased with us. Eventually also in the ministry of our Lord, he says that through Christ we can be pleased with God as well. More especially in the public baptism of our Lord, God says, this one, my son, he's the best that I've got. Now listen to him. This is what he says about himself and then about his ministry. He's the best that I've got. This morning we can spell God's passion with a capital T. The passion of God involves not only the birth of Jesus Christ, not only the baptism. It involves not only the ecstasy of the transfiguration, but its long full involvement with us. It also involves the passion of the Lamb of first Christ. There's intimacy, there's involvement, this long soul path is the ministry of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God, God's public involvement didn't stop with the baptism of our Lord. He doesn't involve himself with us only from time to time. God comes to us today in your baptism and mine. He says publicly to the rest of the watching world, he says, this one's mine, and I'm happy about it. God comes to us in his son's body and his blood. And he says to a world now, take this seriously. Here again, it's the best I've got. Use it for the forgiveness of sin. God comes to us and he asks us, each of us, he says, you want to know what I'm thinking? Here it is. It's here in True Testament. Again, this is the best I've got to tell you about this baptized Christ. It will make you wise about salvation. In spite of our own dabbling in Christianity, in spite of our own being into Christianity every day, every one of us, precious good news that comes to us in the baptism of Jesus Christ, the public good news that comes to us in the baptism of Jesus Christ as well, is that God doesn't have his mood. We don't need to check with him or check him with a Harris poll or a Gallup poll to see if he's really with us. He's here, passionately involved with us, long pull. There's intimacy and involvement. It is our prayer this morning that our new life in this baptized Christ would encourage us to live our own lives as witnesses to this long pull passion of Jesus Christ, this long pull passion of our God, so that we too can play our long pull witness to the rest of the watching world to display to them the joy and the peace that we have here in the baptism of our Lord. Amen.